Doctrine Fellowship. We're dealing with the doctrine of grace and surpassing grace. Noting here that the rewards associated with these early Christians, specifically Jewish Christians, to whom this letter, the book of Hebrews, is written, to encourage them and to a certain level get them to snap out of their malaise spiritually, losing their grip, so to speak. They needed to reestablish that because they were facing a big event, just like we are. And that big event was the destruction of the Second Commonwealth. You can imagine what a big deal that had been if you had been a believer living in the land at the 70 AD mark, or close to it. They had the doctrine they needed. They had the prophetic doctrine they needed. The prophetic doctrine didn't have to do with the end times. They had that too. What they had was, you can all read it in Luke 21, that when you see certain things developing, that's your cue to get out of the land, to find you a new homeland, if you will. Disperse, get out, move. Do not wait until the Romans' armies, the legions, make their move against Jerusalem. Leave. Go wherever you're going to go in the Roman world, but don't stay there. So that's what they were facing. They were facing another big challenge. Their testing with regard to their oppression at the hands of fellow Jews was about to end. And the fellow Jews were about to get it in the neck. They were going to reap temporally. It would be a great opportunity for them to do some final witnessing and pack their bags and pray and figure out where they're going to relocate and reestablish local churches. So everything was going to be an upheaval for them. And so he says, this isn't the time to throw in the proverbial towel. And we saw that in this verse. Do not throw away your confidence. Confidence is a synonym for Bible doctrine. Do not. It's also used for just having confidence. And throw away your confidence is to chuck doctrine. So there's a don't throw it away. Don't say, what's the use? What's the use of putting up with all this? I'm just going to make friends with and go back. This is throughout the book. There was actual temptation. The temple's still standing. Everything looks normal. And there was this temptation to reestablish and to trample underfoot the blood of Christ. That's in that phrase is in here. And they were warned against that because you go there, you aren't coming back. This isn't like normal reversionism, if there's such a thing. This isn't like normal reversionism. Getting yourself into spiritual trouble. We've studied many scripture dealing with in the Psalms and elsewhere where people recovered spiritually from reversionism. So if you get yourself in trouble in that department, you've got, just like with rebound, you can pull yourself back out of it. And if you have any contact with anybody that's left Maranatha Church, you have to be led by the Spirit. I'm not telling you to go out and grab them by the lapels. It may be that you're led to not say a word. But anything comes up, if you can snatch them out of the fire, if there's anything you can say, you might be thinking with regard to someone, well, it's useless. Okay, maybe it is. You got to figure that out. See, I'm not there. I have to do what I have to do. I don't go running people down at Leave Maranatha Church. I never have. Jesus didn't run people down. He did not run people down. Neither did Paul. I don't see any evidence in here. Believers one-on-one could... See, I give you doctrine so you can do the work of the ministry. Yeah, I have to live my own priesthood, make my own applications towards other believers. And if I come across them and have opportunity, but I'm not going to go zero in on them. I'm not led to do that. You know, it's like You going to go away too? That's what he told the disciples. He didn't plead these people to try to stay on board. We'll make our usual doctrinal appeal to people. It's been out there. It's there. It's in their souls, hopefully, if they decide, anyone decides that they want to pull themselves out. But I am not going to hold my breath. I'm just not, because I do not have a good history, period, numerically, of people who were like this with the truth coming back. I just don't. And I'm not taking the blame for it, because I didn't do anything to run them off except teach the truth. And they had other things they wanted and desired, and it was incompatible with what we wanted around here. A youth camp, a whatever deal. No. We're not doing this. We're not going to be quasi-fundy. I refuse. I absolutely refuse to take that pill. I won't do it. This is what we're about. So anyway, speaking of people leading places, I was just told before class, was in the Jerusalem Post, that there's a beginning a movement there in Israel. They're encouraging Jews to get the blank out of America. This is a precursor to when they really flood out of here after the rapture. And because of all that's going down and everything, this needs to be motivation for you to immigrate back to Israel. Get with it. You know, these big cities like New York and elsewhere got a big Jewish population. So rabbis and others, they're encouraging them to go back. It's all in the plan. We're watching this thing come together. This is the time, obviously, if there ever was, this is the time for us at Maranatha Church to cling to the prophecies and watch them come to fruition. And whatever you have to suffer, go through, whatever downsizing or whatever sizing you have to do, whatever changes, do it gladly. This isn't where it's at. Where it's at is at the Bema seat. That's where it's at. The American dream is turning into the American nightmare. It really is, for a lot of people. I'm not saying it's going to happen to you. You may scoot right through this with, you know, your glass of wine and your filet mignon and be just fine. But it may not be. Whatever it is, it is. One day at a time, take one day at a time. I know some of you made some are making some big changes because it's God's will for you to do so. And we're not out here to keep up with the Joneses, whatever the Joneses are doing. The Joneses are the typical idiots running amok, trying to make it work. And this isn't where it's at. It never was, even in the good times, even in the so-called times when everything was okay. The crazies have taken over, and they've taken over in high places. That's the thing. It isn't the nuts in the street. It's in the high places, like Seattle. Thank God I'm not up there now. New York. Oh, you can walk out in the streets and protest and all that mop, but you can't go to church. You can't assemble. So this spirit of revolution and lawlessness, that's hopefully it'll stay pretty much out of Oklahoma City. I mean, there's some of it here, obviously. There's always these types. I don't know. But we want to change everything. Rename everything. Tear everything down. What? I'm not in love with American culture per se, but you don't go tearing all this down. You got to have a civilization. And they want to wreck all this? And our authorities aren't up in arms, literally and metaphorically, over this? What kind of leaders do you have? Let this go on. Now, not all of them are that way. There are some. And I think if these people do this and go to a certain point, there's going to be a backlash and they're going to like it. They're not going to come into suburbs and start burning and looting and killing people. They're going to get a retaliation. So this isn't going to be fun. They haven't begun to see it. They're a minority right now. But it's the old spirit of the French Revolution. Remember that one? French Revolution? It wasn't caused by Marie Antoinette and some, you know, callous royals. This was Illuminati sponsored. And don't believe, you know this by now, don't believe everything you've read in your history book. She may not have, they may have made this up, that she said, let him eat cake. That may have been completely fabricated. I wouldn't put it past them. Because these Jacobins, these people, they were all into, they wanted to change everything. They didn't even like the calendar. They didn't even like a 7-day week. This is the satanic revolution that throws up against everything in Scripture. And we're seeing the spirit of this lawlessness build, build, build as we move to the day of the Lord. But then Jesus Christ still is in control and will handle all of this. Nothing will prevent even one person who wants to believe and serve God to prevent him from doing it. They may die. Big deal. You die, get raptured, and you're in the millennium. Raptured, but resurrected. Yeah. I don't know. That'd be a hard choice to make, wouldn't it? Would I rather die in the trib and get a resurrection body, or make it through the trib and still have to put up with my STA and live in the millennium? I don't know. It's not. Thankfully, it's not our choice. It's God's choice. Okay, another one I want to look at. We got a lot out of the study of the seven churches. And it's great to have doctrine to be able to break this down and read it and make perfect sense. Because you have the right theological grid, categories of doctrine, comparing Scripture with Scripture, and classifying things accordingly. Oh, this relates to phase two, not phase one. Work out your own salvation. That can possibly be anything you got to do to improve on the salvation adjustment. So this has to do with another deliverance. The deliverance from shame and loss at the judgment seat of Christ. So in this verse, here's some SG3. This is close I can come to. Here's some SG3 you can probably somewhat identify with. He who overcomes, believer. Read 1 John 5:4, I think it is. Even our faith, we've overcome the world. Our faith in Christ, you overcome this whole indictment that has come down on humanity, sentencing them, short of salvation, faith in Christ, to the lake of fire. And you want to step free of that? That's what we tell people. All you got to do is believe in Jesus Christ. This goes out. Maybe some people hear it on the YouTube. You need to believe if you haven't. Just believe in Jesus Christ. Get that done. Get that done. Because any other suffering is nothing compared to what awaits those who fail to make that adjustment. The Scripture is clear. And all we can do is tell you. You have to act on it. Bury your pride and believe. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end. End of what? Phase two. The end of phase two. Whatever that is. And to that church that he wrote this, the church at Thyatira, to him I will give authority over the nations. This is administrative position. A high administrative position within the kingdom where you are enforcing the edicts of the king over the area assigned to a particular believer. I'll give you authority over the nations. We're not just living among them and watching them. We will be given authority over the nations. A structure, a governmental or a rule that's above. Nations will exist as nations. God's pro-nationalism. He's pro-nationalism. He established nations. In fact, we can see in our Bible that nations will exist forever. On earth too, there will be nations. God is pro-nations. He's pro-different races. He's established all of this. He establishes everything about them, their national boundaries, and it's as long as it isn't corrupt, nations have their own distinct culture, their own distinct cuisine, their own distinct language. All these things are nations. Now, probably we're going to go back to one language because we won't need it to protect ourselves from ourselves. See? Because if I'm always reminded when I'm hearing someone speak a language that I don't have a clue as to what they're saying. They could be saying, "See that old fool there? They could be saying anything." Smiling the whole time, you know. and I realize immediately that barrier. God put that in because they would have, in short order, enslaved the human race. Oh yeah, technology would have went berserk. They would have got cell phones and tracking. They'd have put that together so fast it wouldn't have been funny. But when he broke that up at Babel, and they were out there busy surviving in the wilderness, so to speak, and establishing nations, they didn't have time for that. So they couldn't pool their geniuses and get these technological marvels, so to speak, going. Now we're in a similar situation where the Lord's going to have to step in. Or they're going to take away all of our freedoms. Even our volition. Make us part human and part machine. The devil is salivating over that one. But it isn't going to happen. And that's why the mark of the beast is prohibited for people who are in the tribulation. We're seeing precursors to this mess. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as vessels of the potter and broken to pieces, as I also have received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. I do not know what that is. I don't know. The morning star in pagan and in our vocabulary is Venus, the so-called planet Venus. It's a star. Now, what does it mean to give that to us? Some things are just a mystery, and I just have to live with them. But it's going to be special, whatever it is. So, but that other part, I got that. We're going to enforce the edicts of the kingdom, and there's always these types that think they can get by with it, will step over into the kind of criminal activity, not just your regular STA activity, but the kind of criminal activity that demands that they get executed, shattered. You say, "Well, I don't want to kill anybody." You'll change your mind. You get a resurrection body, you'll do your job, whatever it is. So there's more motivation. So as this conflict intensifies, follow 1 Peter 1:13. Oh, I forgot to announce, but I already announced it, but I'll do it again. No Bible class the week of the 12th. 12th is Sunday, the 5th. The 5th. Inevitably, I'm glad I don't deal with doctrine like this, like I give announcements. We'll resume the 12th. We'll resume the 12th. And the Saturday coming is 4th, so we'll be out the week of the 5th. All right. I rebounded that. Stupid. So what I can say to you as we conclude and wrap up this point 6 is, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober. Don't be flipping out about all this stuff that's going on. There's nothing we can do about it. We can work ourselves up. There's nothing we can do about it. It's going to play out as it's going to play out. Keep sober. This is spiritual sobriety. Don't get off on some tangents and run. There's nothing we can do but do what we've been doing. We haven't been highly inconvenienced around here. Maybe some think we have, but we haven't. We're okay. We're rolling along. We've got everything we need. We really do. Y'all are making applications towards each other, towards this property, towards me, and me towards you. Everything's okay. It's fine. Don't get in a tizzy over this, because there's nothing you can do about it anyway. Yeah, you can read articles and, yeah, what the New World Order wants to do. Let them run. They, as the Bible says, they can only go so far. Our Lord runs history. He has authority over all mankind, down to the individual. And revolutions and upheavals and whatever have come and gone. And the plan of God keeps moving right along with the evangelization of the nations and providing an environment where people, if they're willing, can come and get Bible doctrine and get and grow up spiritually. It's provided here for you. It's in your lap. Take advantage of it. Do not neglect face-to-face. I don't care. Okay, you got your own set of CHPs you're going through. Everybody does. Everybody does. Encourage one another. Okay, your spouse isn't here. Yes, it's a big deal. You just keep clipping along. You're doing the right thing. Don't be discouraged. This is how you're getting to make your mark in time. We got to go through something. We got to go through something that's challenging and that can potentially bring some pain and misery to us. Just do it. Put it with God. Let God deal with it, and you just stay with Bible doctrine. Don't flinch. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if anything could be clearer than that. That doesn't mean you can't think about other things. I'm going to have a party, and what am I going to fix? And I'm going to go out and shop for a new car or whatever it is. Yes, we do all that stuff. But always keep before you your hope on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paragraph SG3, eternal rewards. And even today, you can do things to produce SG3. And keep yourself focused on that and prayerful with regard to God. You know where I am spiritually, and I'm not even judging myself in a sense. You've got all the facts. I want to get my crown. And if things are okay, you need to pull some strings to get my attention on things, fine. I have an STA. I can be stupid. I got rebound. Thank you for that. I can recoup. Make whatever adjustments. So if there's anyone out there who is not a believer in Jesus Christ, we want you to know that there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And He bore your sins so that you, in an act of faith and belief in Him, can receive eternal life and the cancellation of the debt against us and be qualified to enjoy the afterlife. And it isn't some cheesy thing. We're talking about the kingdom of God on earth, and we're talking about a new earth and an eternal kingdom, the day of God. And you, all you got to do is believe in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten our positive volition. In Jesus' name, amen.